Hello and welcome to the 46th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I also run the website poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com that hosts this site, and also my photo diaries, which are daily looks with a bit of a journal entry and some photos from the day. Sometimes they're related, sometimes they're not, but it's a good way to kind of keep track of what's been going on. I realize I don't think I talked about this on the show, but I hit the 4-year anniversary of starting those photo diaries. I was inspired several years ago by a cartoonist named James Kolchaka, who is known for being in a band and doing all kinds of different cool comic books and comic strips, including this one called American Elf that was a daily comic strip that he put up online that he did for, I want to say, a decade or more. And I got really into it. I think I went all the way back to the very beginning and then read through. You could do that on his website. And I have a few hard copies here somewhere. But I was just really interested in that idea and distilling an entire day down into a few words and pictures. In his case, it's drawings. But in my case, since I can't draw, I decided to take photographs and put them in there. And I've used a few different cameras, including cell phones. That's kind of the easiest one, just snap a quick picture and move on. I had this little blue digital camera that we used for a while that's still around here somewhere. Actually, it's right here. It's a Lumix from Panasonic. 8 optical zoom, 14 megapixels, no big deal. And then also, our newest camera is a Canon EOS Rebel T3. That's, you know, one of those bigger cameras with a bigger lens. I wasn't sure if we were really going to dig that camera, but it takes such good photos, they come out so clearly, that I've really been taken a shine to it, even though it is a big bulky thing that can be kind of a pain to carry around. Especially if you're a parent and you're also carrying around, you know, a diaper bag or any other number of things that you wind up carrying. But, you know, going to Disney World, we got so many good pictures. My parents have a camera similar to this one. And so, you know, between the two of us and then, you know, my wife's parents have their own cameras, like we can document things really well. And so that's where I take the photos. And then I have an old version of Photoshop that I got from my old job at Wizard because we would need to touch things up. And if I was working from home, I would need to do things there too sometimes. Really, I just got the disc and loaded it onto my computer a few computers back and also put it on my external hard drive so I can kind of keep using it. So don't tell anybody. It's not really stolen because it was technically licensed and purchased by someone else. It was just given to me as a gift, let's say. The basic process for photo diary as far as actually putting it together, and the reason that it kind of takes so long for me to get caught up, is that I've got to load all the pictures onto my computer. I really wish my phone had a better Bluetooth system. I've got an iPhone and it just doesn't work. I actually used to have a Verizon phone that worked way better in this regard. That's the only way it worked better. But, you know, I downloaded an app and it's okay, but it doesn't go in the right place. It's kind of annoying. So I still just plug that in, and then I plug the camera in, got to download everything. And then I choose from pictures from a certain day, put them in a folder, and then with the pictures in that folder, I open them up in Photoshop. I size them to a particular way. I always start with a 2400 by 2400 pixel frame, so I kind of know those numbers really well at this point and how I can size the pictures and fit them in and best way that that makes sense. And then I use the eyedropper tool, which can select a color from the photo that you're using for the background. It's usually a darker color, and then I go for a lighter color for the text. I use Comic Sans Bold. It's kind of a winky joke. It's a little hacky, I guess, but it's kind of neat. Plus, you know, I went through a lot of fonts, and it just seemed the most appropriate. Now, it's, like I said, I started this thing 4 years ago, and I've been doing it fairly consistently ever since. I think the longest I've ever been behind is like a month, and I've been behind almost a month every month this year, which I'm not happy about. But like I said, I'm just busy doing other things, and it kind of gets put to the wayside sometimes. But I still love doing it. I love going back and looking at it. And it's kind of a really neat record of, you know, a little bit before Lucy was born and then ever since. And I've thought this, and I don't know if I've actually said it anywhere, but I'm so glad that I kept doing it because it's been a good link back home to my family members and my friends. They can kind of check it out. It goes right to Facebook, so people can check it out on there. But also, you know, without a kid, I don't know if I would still be doing it, because I don't know how interesting it is to say, like, yep, I sat on my butt and wrote some stuff for work today, or, you know, that kind of thing. Lucy has definitely brought more energy and life to the photo diaries, and not for nothing, but she's also brought a whole new color palette. I often pull from some of her toys laying around the room. There's a heck of a lot more purples and pinks and pastels than there would have been otherwise. And so it's kind of neat how it's changed as those 4 years have gone on. So you can actually check out all the photo diaries that I've ever done on poppapa.com. There's a whole section on the right-hand column that says photo diaries, and then it goes by month. And you can go all the way back if you want and go all the way through. I actually started posting them on my pop culture blog, United Monkey, but since it was more sentimental than kind of, you know, pop culture oriented, I then moved it to its own blogspot page, I think, that was called themonkeydiaries.blogspot.com. I'm not sure if that's even still there anymore. But then I took all that stuff and I put it on Pop Papa because my life is so dad-centric now. It made sense. Plus, having four blogs just seemed insane. So bringing those over really not only streamlined what I'm doing, but it also made sense thematically, and it makes for a lot more posts on Pop Papa. I really thought I was going to have all these things to write about, but it's really hard to come up with lists. You know, if I'm given a task or given a suggestion for a list, I can usually bang it out pretty quickly. And if I come up with one, it's not that big of a deal. But man, like, just thinking about stuff and writing a list about it is not easy. And part of that's just because I'm writing it all day. So this actually got into a little bit more of the ins and outs of photo diary than I expected, but it kind of fits with the theme of this show. As I said in last week's episode, I'm recording this right after that one, so it can go up while we're in Disney World. I've also decided to start posting on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, because basically what I do for my schedule is I record on Mondays as best I can, and then on Tuesdays I cut the episode, and then I've been just putting it up whenever on Tuesday that I finish. But as I mentioned in a post on the blog, I'm kind of looking to get more into like a set schedule, and so I can't always know when I'm going to be done cutting on Tuesdays, so I've decided to make it kind of a Wednesday morning thing. I hope this doesn't bum anybody out too much, but just wanted to let everybody know why the switch happened, in case you didn't read it on the blog. Anyway, now that that kind of housekeeping stuff is a little bit out of the way, since there isn't that much other new stuff to talk about with this episode, I thought it might be kind of interesting to do a little bit of a day in the life, kind of what we go through and what we do day in, day out here at our house, as far as being me being a stay-at-home and work-from-home dad, and Lucy being a toddler. Wake-up time. I guess it makes the most sense to start in the morning. Today she woke up pretty early. I want to say like 6:30. I didn't really look at the clock. But my wife leaves for work between like 7 and 7:15. So I got up around that time and came out. Lucy was already up and watching. She was watching Chuggington Station. And she wasn't really into it. She kept asking for movies and movies and movies and movies. So instead of putting that on, or a movie, I instead flipped over to Sesame Street, which engrossed her quite a bit. She kind of moves back and forth for the rest of the morning between movies and TV shows and sometimes Netflix. She really enjoys that she can watch kind of whatever she wants. And sometimes she'll watch like 5 or 6 episodes of, say, The Strawberry Shortcake Show or Daniel Tiger or Super Why. And in that time, I am doing what I call my morning work. I refer to this in my photo diary a lot and probably on the podcast. And what that is, in regards to, are the posts that I write for Spinoff Online. Now, Spinoff Online is a sister site to Comic Book Resources, which is the main website that I write for. And instead of doing interviews and stories like that, like I do for CBR, Spinoff kind of reblogs information, and they still do original content, stories, interviews, lists, and that kind of thing. But my main job is looking around in the morning for various news stories that kind of fit our purview, which is basically like geek-related film, comics-related film, action movies, horror movies, that kind of stuff. Sometimes some more serious stuff. Like, we do talk about the Oscars and whatnot when they come around, or if like a kind of like film geeky director is doing something cool, like Darren Aronofsky or Quentin Tarantino or any of those guys, we'll write some posts about that. So what I do in the morning is I get my computer out, and I have, through a website called Feedly, I have a bunch of RSS feeds. I don't know what RSS stands for, but what you basically do is you go to your RSS feed reader and you put in a URL. And in the case of work stuff for Spinoff, I've got Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, The Wrap, Deadline, TV Line, and a few other entertainment sites. I think Hero Complex, which is an LA Times geek blog, I think. And I have all those go into one section, and I, through Feedly, I can look at all of the stories that have come through since the last time I looked, as little kind of thumbnails with pictures if they're available, and a little bit of text, including the headline of what it's about. It's usually the headline and the subhead, and from that you can get a pretty good idea of whether it's a useful story or not. I also check the blog, and I check comic book resources, because for the like more showcase comic book movie news things, that'll usually go to CBR. Or like, and we'll maybe do like a link post on Spinoff to go there. I don't really do a lot of the editing. That's all our guy Kevin Melrose, who is the guy that I talk to. So what I do is I go through my feeds. I open a ton of tabs on my Chrome browser. And then I pitch him several stories. And basically I write three every day. And they're not that long, but sometimes it can be time consuming to figure out the right way to word something. Or more accurately, a different way to word something. I mean, sometimes there's only so many ways that you can say that director A is taking over project B. Or, hey, here's a new trailer for this movie. So we try to keep all the basic details like director, stars, release date, and that kind of stuff. Plus a link back to our other coverage of these things. You're also working with tags and categories and all this stuff that isn't really important. But there's also some photo sizing things that you do and all this stuff. And then I save my stories as pending. Kevin goes through and reads them. And then they go up through the day. We usually do about a post an hour throughout the day. But the whole thing is on West Coast time, which is really nice because even though I might feel pressured and like I'm being really slow, even if I don't finish my Spinoff writing until like 11, it's still, what, 8 there? Yeah, so, like, it's not that big of a deal. That's actually one of the really nice things about working on the East Coast for people who are on the West Coast and whose sites are timed on West Coast time. You've got a little bit more leeway that way. On the flip side, it can be a little bit difficult if everybody you're working for is on the West Coast and you're ending your workday at, like, 5 East Coast time because they've still got 3 more hours. But, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I usually have my computer open or my phone checking email if anything does happen. But that's getting ahead of myself. So depending on when we wake up and how long it can take me to write those things, I finish up anywhere between 10 and 11. In that time, I'll also field some emails. I also will usually go through the rest of my Feedly RSS feeds. I've got them broken up into other things like toy news, which I use for my toy column, and just entertainment stuff, blogs that I like, things like that. So I'll go through that. That kind of helps me wake up. And I get going. I also make my coffee in the morning. I use a hot pot, which is electric. You just fill up however many cups you want, put that on, hit the button, and it's done in like 2 or 3 minutes. And then I use a French press to actually brew my coffee. I use 3 scoops, throw that in, put the water on when it's ready, let it go for like 5 or 10 minutes, push the press down, and I've got my coffee. I haven't used like a percolator on a regular basis ever. But the press really works for me. It's so quick and easy, especially when you've got the hot pot. I really recommend that if you are a coffee fan to give that a shot. Plus, it's fewer things to clean than your traditional percolator, and you don't have to use filters. So with my coffee, I'm doing my spinoff writing. Eventually, I finish up, and then at this point, things get a little bit more loose. My main job is writing for comic book resources. I cover a company that's called Boom that recently merged with another company called Arkea. Arkea does mostly or a lot of graphic novels, which are, you know, book-length sequential art stories. Some people call graphic novels any comic book that's collected into a book. I think that's a little snooty, personally, so I don't use that. To me, a trade paperback or a trade is any collection of single issues in either a hardcover or a paperback. I know it seems counterintuitive, but that's just kind of the way I think of it. And then an original graphic novel is its own book-length thing all in one package. So when a certain part of the month comes around, comic book companies put out what are called solicits for a magazine called Previews, which is like a phone book size thing that just lists every comic book that's coming out 3 months from then. And when that information hits the internet, I look through it and I see what books are coming out that are new that we can cover for the first time and kind of get the word out. And then also any new like arcs or big changes in a book, things like that going on. Since I deal with a lot of more independent and creator-owned books through Boom and Archaea, it's more so of the, you know, hey, a new number one's coming out. Let's talk to the person and see what's going on with it. There are some other times when I'll do kind of like catch-up stories with people who have been working on something for a long time or something along those lines, and that's pretty fun too. But for the most part, I'm dealing with new stories and kind of talking to people. So you get a little bit of information. What I do then is I send an email to my boss saying, here's some books I think we could cover. What do you think? He'll say yes or no, and then I will contact my PR contact at the actual comic book company and start setting things up. They pass me emails, and I then get in contact with the creators. At that point, it's a matter of setting up an interview, either over email or by the phone. For the most part, I think, in my experience, a lot of people like doing email, which, as I talked about last week, I won't get into it again, is easier for me personally. So I send out a lot of emails, and so this middle part of my day between 11 and really whenever involves fielding those emails, sending out questions, getting questions back, formatting them in the proper way, and also reading through and then sending follow-up questions and writing intros and asking any specific questions like how many issues is this thing going to be, when is it specifically coming out, getting all that information so I can put it in the story. I like to try and give my stories a day to rest and then I can read them again. It's still tricky because I find that when you work on something like this, you can get really used to it and then maybe skip over things. My brain does this thing that I almost can't control anymore, where like if I think I know what's coming up, it kind of goes on autopilot, and I really have to watch that when I'm editing my stuff. And also just to make sure that it's all good and makes sense. Sometimes you screw up and it happens, and sometimes you screw up bigger times than others. Like a couple weeks ago, I got a creator's name wrong in a headline and I felt like a total dum-dum and really bad about that one. But luckily everybody was really nice and understanding. But I was not happy that day. I felt really dumb. Because that's just a Bush League mistake to make. And I don't know. It was too bad that that happened. So, you know, really the rest of my day is spent doing those things. If I hit kind of a lull, and sometimes, you know, the nature of my job creates lulls that you just kind of deal with. In those times, I'll maybe write something for one of my blogs. A lot of time that's a United Monkey thing. I've got more of a daily schedule for that blog than anything else, and kind of what I want to go up which days. Tuesdays are Toy Commercial Tuesdays. Wednesdays are usually a comic book review thing. Thursday is kind of miscellany. And then Friday, I like to do like an action movie review called Friday Fisticuffs. Although now that I think about it, I haven't done one of those in quite a while. Or I'll catch up on some photo diaries, or, well, I used to do some food blog posting at that point, but I really haven't done that in quite a while. And more recently, I've been actually taking some time during those lull points to work on this story that I've had in mind for a while and have been kind of working on. So I'll throw down a couple paragraphs on there, maybe an email will come back and I'll go back to that. So really, as far as my work goes, it's really a lot of back and forth, and it's really kind of a fluid thing that is different every single day. But while I'm doing all of that, of course, the main constant around here is Lucy. And so she has her various needs. I'm changing diapers. She never tells me when she needs one. Maybe once every 2 weeks she'll actually tell me. So it's usually it's been kind of a while. And then I'll test her and see what's going on. And I really wish she would tell me, especially when she had to go poop, because these things are getting to be ridiculous. And I know I'm just going to have to deal with even more of it once little dude comes along. But I would like to just deal with like one batch of feces at a time. And I'm also on cat litter duty now because apparently pregnant ladies can't do kitty litter because it's got like weird, I don't know, bugs in it or something that'll make them go crazy. But whatever it is, I've got to clean the cat poop too. I'm not very good at it and I forget a lot, so he's not super happy with me all the time. Although he is sitting right next to me here on the couch, so he can't be too bummed out. I also feed her. I've said this a few times, but we kind of have a grazing thing going on where she just kind of asks for whatever she wants, and if we have it, I'll give it to her, you know, within reason. Like I said, today I was a little bit worried about it being so cold. I didn't want her hands to get wet with the cold, so I held off on that. But she eats a lot of this Nature's Own cereal that we get. She likes Fishies, you know, the Goldfish crackers. There's a baby brand version, and there's pretzels. And I gotta say, I'm quite a fan of pretzel Fishies myself. And sometimes I will finish off the bag, and sometimes she will finish off the bag. She likes apples. She just takes the whole thing and eats it these days. Unless she wants it cut up, which doesn't happen too often, but you know, you get the idea. Bananas, you just start it for her. She can peel it herself. So it's cool that she's actually pretty self-sufficient in a lot of ways. But then she can't always get everything. We keep all the food up and out of the way. So she's not like grabbing every apple and taking one bite, which is what happened when we realized that we needed to put the fruit bowl up where she couldn't get it. We looked in and like there was little tiny bite marks out of every single apple. And so we're like, oh, okay, I guess this is happening. For me, as far as food goes, like I said, I drink coffee in the morning. I've been trying out this smoothie thing the past couple weeks, which at first I was kind of using that in place of lunch, but now I'm kind of trying to get it in earlier so it's more like a breakfast. But it really depends on when we wake up and how hungry I am throughout the day. The smoothie basically starts off, it's got frozen berries, just plain vanilla yogurt, some kale, some carrots, and then if any other things that we have. Today I threw in some peeled apple because it was kind of going a little bit. You can throw in banana, mango, oh, a little lemon juice I put in, or any kind of citrus you want. And then milk to help the grinders go. I usually use the blender, but today I used the food processor and it worked just as well. It's still kind of thick and it's got like chunks in it from the kale and the carrots mostly, but it really doesn't bother me. You know, people like using juicers or whatever, but I figure it's all going in and I don't really care. So that's kind of what I do. And then usually we have leftovers for lunch. Sometimes Lucy will join me in having lunch, and sometimes she'll just kind of have been eating throughout the day, and that's kind of what she likes to do. Obviously, eventually she's going to need to get on more of a schedule, because as far as eating goes, when she goes to school, but I kind of think those things happen. You don't necessarily need to set a kid up for it, especially if you know that your kid can kind of handle changes a little bit, and I know that Lucy can, so it's not that big of a concern for me. Post-lunch is when nap time happens, but that can be anywhere between like noon and 3 or 4 sometimes. She didn't fall asleep until we were on our way back from the library yesterday, but today she fell asleep at like 12:30. So it can really be a mixed bag of when that happens. Sometimes I can tell she's getting tired. Usual indicators tend to be that she's asking for like every kind of food that she can imagine, because she thinks that'll kind of keep her going. Or if she gets really like prone to crying, if she's just crying over every single thing, I can kind of tell that she is getting close to sleep. And I will try to hold her and let her fall asleep. I mentioned the skateboarding game. It's called Skate 3. I play it on Xbox 360. And I think that works because it's something that I can kind of zone out and do, but it's also something that she's not really interested in. And so once there's nothing on that she's interested in, then she can kind of let herself fall asleep. She's definitely the kind of kid that can rally, can kick it into third or fourth gear or whatever, and get a, you know, 19th wind and just keep going. So it's important to kind of get in that situation where she is not freaking out that nothing's on TV, which happens, but also not interested in what's on TV. So it in a weird way, it really works, even though it's kind of a strange system, I know. The few times that she has gone to daycare, though, she's actually done really well with eating on a schedule and taking naps when the other kids take naps. So, maybe it's just a setup thing. Maybe it's just everybody else doing the same thing. Maybe it's her getting tired and just used to the pattern. But, you know, that works for them. This works for me. During nap time, I have you know, a little bit of relaxation time. Sometimes that's when I eat my lunch. It kind of depends on when it takes place during the day. Obviously, it also allows me to get a little bit more work done. I can, you know, bang things out a lot quicker when she is asleep and not distracting me. I mean, she's not being distracting on purpose, but either just needing things throughout the day or whatever is happening. You know, obviously there are times when you're in the middle of something and you're trying to figure out like a great intro or a way to really get into a story, especially if it's one that you've kind of written similar versions of before and you're wanting to do something different. It can be really tricky to come up with a new way to attack something sometimes. So it can also be tricky when you're in the middle of that and a little dudette comes up and asks for 15 different kinds of food, none of which you have. So I'm able to focus more at that point. I also do the things that I can only do when she's sleeping during this time. Case in point, podcast. I almost always record the podcast while she's napping, hence the name Napcast. I don't know how this is going to work out when we have a second baby, because obviously they are going to have different nap schedules, but hopefully they will sync up at least to a certain point. I also, as I mentioned in the last episode, will do my interviews during this time whenever possible if I do need to do phone interviews. Also, as I said in the last episode, Lucy was able to be really quiet during my last one, so that might actually be a good thing for the future. And I hope that it actually is. We will see. Again, you know, there's only, almost 4 months left when it's just her and me. So obviously the entire situation is going to change at that point. And we'll just, you know, get used to whatever the new thing is. And my bosses are cool. They understand that, like, things might get weird for a while as we kind of figure things out and how all of this is going to work out as far as work and new kid goes. Plus, Em's gonna have like 12 weeks of maternity leave or something, which is two more than last time, and you can take two before the kid is due. So hopefully it'll work out that she does all of that and kind of gives us both, you know, time to get used to all this stuff. So I might actually be doing another day in the life post in like 7 months to let you guys know how everything is now or at that point, because I have a feeling it's gonna be pretty different. And then she wakes up and she usually immediately wants food or to watch something specific. And I tend to oblige just because I don't see why I wouldn't. And then at 5 o'clock every day, unless I need to get in there earlier, I will start making dinner. I love making dinner. I think I've said this a few times here on the show, but it's really like the kind of end of my workday. It's a great signifier for that. And it's just like a completely different thing that I can do that has nothing to do with my job or my work or comics or movies or TV or any of that kind of stuff. And I really just get to kind of work on something different. Plus, you know, I'm not really a kind of work with your hands kind of a person. Just, you know, obviously I'm a writer. You kind of build in a different way that way for sure, but it's very different. And this actually gives me a chance to really build something, and it's something that, you know, helps my family because I'm actually feeding them, and knowing that is really cool. So I like that hour. I actually like it even more when Lucy's asleep during that time, but that kind of doesn't work out so much in the evenings because her, you know, a later nap tends to mean that she's going to have a later go to sleep time. My wife tends to get home around 6. So, you know, obviously that's when I try to have dinner done by. Also throughout the day I will do like some chores as a way to kind of break things up from work. So dishes are a main one, and then sometimes it's vacuuming, although not often. And then if I remember to do the cat litter during this time, that's when I clean it. Just a few other things. Picking up tends to happen in the evenings because there's not much point in doing it during the day because she's just going to get up and kind of mess everything up again. So my wife gets home at 6, we eat dinner. Lucy can eat sometime, you know, depending on what it is, she'll eat with us. She's always up on the table with us, but she doesn't always like what we're eating. And so sometimes we'll just kind of sit there and play. She loses control of the TV around 7. Sometimes we'll turn the TV off during dinner too. But at 7, we watch Jeopardy. And then at 7:30, we watch Modern Family. 8, we watch whatever 8 o'clock show is on that day. And then at 8:30, my wife takes Lucy to our bed. reads her 3 books, turns out the light, and then tries to get her to go down to sleep. Like I said, yesterday was kind of screwy because Sunday was screwy nap-wise. Yesterday, she didn't fall asleep until like 3:30, and she wound up sleeping until like 5:30 or something. No, 6. So she took a lot longer to go down last night. Oh, also, right after dinner, I like to play Candy Crush because it's kind of just like my like decompressing time, although I've been stuck on the same level for like a week or two, and it's getting kind of frustrating. The crazy thing is it doesn't feel like that tough of a level. I just can't seem to get the right combination of things. I also am a strong believer that that game eventually takes pity on you and gives you an easy one, and I think I've screwed the easy ones up several times on this level, which is frustrating. And then, you know, in the evening, things are a little bit more relaxed. I try not to do work stuff because it's just family time, though I will look at my phone. And like I said, I'm on my Kindle to do Candy Crush. When they go to bed, I'll watch a show or do some writing or maybe some work if I need to really get something nailed down. I also read, you know, trades kind of while we watch TV. And then with whatever time is left in the evening after Emma's done putting Lucy out down, we hang out a little bit. We have played the Disney Infinity game a few times, and it was actually a lot of fun. And so we'll probably get into that a little bit more. We're both kind of interested to see if there's any cool things at Disney World that are Disney Infinity related, maybe like exclusives or whatever, that we can then bring back and use in our games. So that's just kind of a fun thing to do. We still have like a series of shows every night that we like to watch. Since we don't have DVR, we watch them when they happen. She unfortunately misses a lot of good stuff in the time that it takes to put Lucy down, but I try to fill her in as best I can. I don't feel like I'm very good at that, so I feel like I let her down, but she still likes to hear, and I get a couple of the jokes right sometimes, so that's good. And then I stay up pretty late. I usually go to bed around 1 o'clock. In the time between when my wife goes to bed and when I go to bed, I'm usually just relaxing and enjoying the quiet. I'm kind of, by nature, an introvert and a solitary person, so it's nice to have some time just to myself. This also is when I, you know, will watch like an action movie or a horror movie or maybe like a comedy that's not appropriate for Lucy to watch or listen to. Plus, you know, she's pretty much got sole control over the TV these days during the day, and that's fine by me because I can concentrate on my work, and she's not just like a zombie watching TV. She plays with the toys and kind of runs around and stuff, so I don't feel too bad about it, though I do, you know, feel a little bad about it. And that's pretty much where we're at. You know, if I'm more tired, I go to bed earlier, but I tend to stay up that late. So I get anywhere between 6 and 7 hours of sleep a night, which probably isn't enough, but it works for me. And I'm not really tired throughout the day. Sometimes I'm tired in the morning, but, you know, that's not really the same thing. So that's kind of a day in the life, plus a little rundown of how Photo Diary works. I actually thought this was going to be a much shorter episode, but apparently I can babble about what I do every single day for quite a while. And with that, I am going to sign off. Like I said, I am in Disney World right now. As you listen to this, I will be back Saturday, which means I will hopefully record on Monday, tell you how everything went, cut Tuesday, go up Wednesday by 10, and keep that new pattern going. You can find out more about me by heading over to United Monkey, that's MONKEE.com, to read about my pop culture writings, although this week the site's going to be pretty dead because, like I said, I'm on vacation. Monkey Around the Kitchen is not going to be updated because I am on vacation, though I probably will throw out some tweets if you do follow me at Papadietsch, that's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. And if you're a dad, like my buddy John, and you like tweeting about being a father, try to use the hashtag ThisIsFatherhood. And, you know, maybe we can see what everybody else is doing in the Pop Papa Napcast community, if there is one. All right, gang, I'm going to have a good rest of the week in the warm weather, and I hope you do too in the cold weather.